The following is a paid program on AM 1220 KLBB. The views expressed do not necessarily represent the views of the station owner or management or Endurance Broadcasting, LLC.
Oh, let the sun beat down upon my face.
Good morning, everyone. This is Boating with Wolf Marine and Tetzloff Yacht Sales, show number 20-something. I'll get that one of these days. My name is John Tetzloff with Tetzloff Yacht Sales, tetzloffyachtsales.com. You can check out our Facebook page, Tetzloff Yacht Sales Facebook page. We're at 575 Main Street North, right downtown Stillwater, and we are looking for some good boats to sell. I'm selling a lot, and on my starboard side,
I am Eric Wolf. I am the co-owner of Wolf Marine. We are located 1 mile north of downtown Stillwater, intersection of Highway 95 and 96. About just one short mile by boat from the Stillwater Bridge. We are a marina. We have slips ranging in sizes from 16 to 50 foot, so we can accommodate most everybody. And we do still have some slips available. Things have filled in real nice for us this summer. So being that it's Lumberjack Days here this weekend, I'd suggest coming down on Saturday morning and picking up a slip maybe just for the weekend or for the rest of the summer. It'd be great for us. I'd sure like to see everybody down there. Come and enjoy the weekend on the St. Croix.
For sure. And for me, the sales have been just going nonstop. In fact, I've been on four or five boats today. And in fact, I almost ran here from the last boat I was on. The guy who was interested in the boat is very interested and asked a lot of questions, which is fine. And that's my number one priority. And then once that was over, I booked it over here. So yeah, the boats are selling. And again, like I said, we really need some good listings because the inventory is getting down there a little bit. I like to keep it at a certain number and makes everything comfortable. And I know that folks can always go to my website to find the most boats. And again, if I don't have it, I'm going to find it.
And I can attest to that. I was walking down by the service dock or the sales dock down there the other day where Tetzloff Yacht usually has at least four boats.
In fact, the one boat that is there, I'm going to let the folks know about it. It's a 2003 32-foot Sea Ray Sundancer. He just had some work done to it, some service work, and it's standing tall right now and looking good. And, you know, that boat comes with twin, I think they're 5-liter Mercs. It's got the generator. It's got the air conditioning and heat. It's got the windlass anchor, which comes in handy for the first mate. Real good-looking, really nice driving boat. So that one is bad. Back at the sales dock at Wolf and ready to go.
Yeah, and did that one have some lower unit problems for a survey, and that's why it went out for service. Now it's like brand new, isn't it?
Yeah, that boat is really, really standing tall. And, you know, I brought another boat. Well, I didn't bring another boat, but I sold another boat that came in there. That was a 40-foot Sea Ray Express that's super clean. It's out on K-Dock.
It is, and that's a beautiful boat. I personally have not yet seen it, but I know from what my brothers had said to me that, it's coming in there, and can't wait to see it.
Yeah, it's a nice boat, and I'll tell you, last week when you weren't here, thanks a lot. No, I'm only teasing. You have a story coming up for the reason you weren't here, which I can't wait to hear. But anyway, they had the boat sold a little while ago, and you know, last week we had Jane Beal in from Gloria Rector down in Florida, and a bank up here uses them to do all the background information to get the boat out of the former owner's name and into the new owner's name as far as Coast Guard documentation goes. And so we had her last week, and the boat actually was documented at one time, and when they did the search on it, it came back with a lien on it from about 10 years ago. So Jane Beal and her company, Gloria Rector, got into action, contacted a couple of banks that had been bought out and bought by another bank and had to go back, and they had to get the old files out. And sure enough, it took a little bit of time, but they were able to get that cleared up. So they were able to tell this bank to go ahead and fund the buyer, and now everything is in a row.
That is the advantage of having a professional do that type of work. And I've ran into that same problem myself. It's the exact same scenario where one bank bought another or went out of business. And it did take a lot of paperwork, a lot of running around. But to have a professional do that, that's the way to do it.
Yeah. And then, you know, what happened is somebody in the past probably got a little lazy and saw that there was some work to be done to do some research. So they just went ahead and titled it, you know, which you can do, but what you're doing, and as Jane said last week, you're just pushing the problem out. So when you want to go ahead and sell it, you're going to have that issue again, and the next owner is going to have it. So if it is that, you know, just call Jane Beal with Gloria Rector and have her take care of it for you.
Absolutely. And I do have to apologize to our listeners for missing last week, but along with my brother, we have the marina. We also have another business called Wimsco Inc., and that particular business has sectional barges. It's an industrial marine business, and these sectional barges will go nearly all over the country. And just so happened last week, I had a setup in New York, so I flew out to New York. It was quite an adventure for me. It was probably one of the more nerve-wracking setups that I've ever had in my entire life. And I can tell you the little story on it here.
I want to hear it.
I flew out on Thursday, and I flew into Syracuse, New York, and the job was in Bimington, which is about an hour and 15 to an hour and a half away. So right away, jump in the rental car, get right to the job site. They're already putting these things in the water by crane. And I think they had two barges that were out of the six setups. They had two of them in the water, so I jumped down onto the barges, helped the guys, you know, assemble them. They weren't particularly doing it the right way, and that's why they wanted me out there in the first place. And as we're putting these things together, I said, "Geez, it looks like that water's come up a little bit, you know." And sure enough, the guys agreed, "Yeah, maybe it looks like it's come up a little bit." So We put these barges together. We put an excavator on one. We put a man lift on the other two, and put the spuds down. I put 6 feet extra line out just in case we had a minor raise in water. And just so happens that night the water came up so much that all three sections floated away.
Wow.
First time ever that's ever happened to me. Fortunately, the spuds were down far enough. The spuds now, those are the things that anchor these barges to the bottom of the river, so they're not supposed to float away. And those were about, one was about 100 yards from where we initially moored it, and the other one was about 200 yards from where we initially moored it. And the other barge that had the excavator on it had no spuds on it at all, and we did tie that off to one that did have spuds. Unfortunately, we did not use heavy enough line, and in the heavy current, as the water came up 4 feet that particular night, the heavy current busted the lines, and this barge took off with an excavator on top of it somewhere during the night.
Wow.
Now, so we're eating breakfast. We get a phone call at 7 o'clock in the morning, said, all three barges are gone. We look at each other and say, what? That's impossible. There's no way that can happen. So we jump in the truck, run down there. Sure enough, all three barges are gone. So we start heading downstream. Well, we didn't have to go far, and we found the first one. And then we looked just a little ways downstream from that, and we seen the second one. The second one had the boat attached to it, and fortunately for us, that particular barge stopped underneath the bridge that they're working on.
Oh, wow.
Very lucky for us. But one thing led to another. We still can't get to the boat, and the current is moving, and I mean moving. There's no way we could get into a small...
And this is on a river.
This is on a river, yes. There's no way we could get into a smaller boat to get to this barge to get the bigger work boat to do whatever we had to do. But yet, we still have one barge that's missing. So we have the DNR, the Highway Patrol, several of the workers heading downstream trying to find this barge. Well, they finally track it down. It's at this point in time, it's about 15 miles downstream. This barge went over two dams.
Wow.
Crazy. Crazy. And, yeah, they finally track it down, and now the barge is floating, you know, 8 to 10 miles an hour downstream. No boat, no way to get to it, so what do you do? Well, they ended up tying a line onto a life jacket and sending a worker out after it. And the DNR agent's sitting there watching this kid, and he goes, "You think this is a good idea?" And obviously the kid looks at him and says,
"Oh, yeah.
We have no other option." And it's true. We had no other option. So he jumps in the water, tries to time it right to meet this barge, and sure enough, great job, good swimmer. He was a Navy vet. So he times it, climbs up on the barge, grabs the rope that was tied onto his life jacket. It came untied. So now he has no rope to tie this thing on.
This only gets worse.
Oh, it was a crazy story. So what's he do? He yells at the guy. There's bridges all over out there. He yells at the guys on shore and says, "Get me a long line. I am. And as I go under the next bridge, throw me a line." So that's what they did. They ended up throwing him a line underneath the next bridge with about 300 feet of line on it. He quick ties it off to the barge. They tie it off to the bridge. And this line was like a bungee cord. It stretched probably almost twice its original length before the barge stopped. And when it stopped, it drifted into shore. They jump off, put a bunch of lines on it, and tie it and secure it off. But now we're 15 miles downstream over two dams. There's no way to get this thing back, right? So what we have to do, we have to go hire a large crane.
Oh, man.
80-ton crane. Now we have to find a spot to take and pull this thing out of the water, all right? So that was 10 miles downstream yet from where this barge was fastened to land. So we ended up pulling the workboat out, putting it on a truck, trucking it downstream to this this location where we're able to use a crane to put it back in. I had to put the boat in, go upstream against this just a nasty current. It took us about 3.5 hours to go 10 miles to this barge. And there was one point in time. Now, if you've ever been on a river and go under a bridge, you know that the current gets funneled under the bridges. It gets really strong. There was one bridge that it was funneled, and it was actually what I would consider like a class one rapids.
Wow.
There was actually waves caused by the current. 150 horse, 24-foot workboat, full throttle, barely making headway. And I told the guy that was on it, I said, "Look at shore." And he thought we were really moving, you know. I said, "Look at shore." And we are barely making headway. And that was like that for about 300 yards. And after that 300 yards, and it took us about 10 minutes to get that 300 yards. And after that, the water started to calm down a little bit where it widened out. And we were able to make headway. Finally made it up to the barge and the excavator. The guy was still on it. he waited there all day long.
Bring him lunch?
You know, I think he said he didn't live far from there, and his wife brought him some lunch and some water because it was warm out there also. But, it was interesting. We hooked onto it, and what took us 3.5 hours to get to took us less than an hour to get back. So, but we did make it back, had to disassemble the barge, put it on, pull it out with the crane, put it on a truck, truck it back to the job site. But very interesting set of events and lesson learned that when you're in a it was a flash flood situation. We actually had flash flood warnings that night, I didn't sleep there for about 2 or 3 days because if I didn't have an ulcer then, I had one afterwards for
sure. Wow, that put you behind. Yeah, that's too bad. So I can't wait to hear the rest of it after our first break comes up here. This is Tetzloff, John Tetzloff with Tetzloff Yacht Sales. This is Boating with Wolf Marine and Tetzloff Yacht Sales.
And we will be right back.
A convenient location and protected bay. Shouldn't that be where you harbor your boat? If so, dock your boat at Wolf Marine in Stillwater. Hello, this is Eric Wolf. After all, why have a boat if you can't get out onto the water and enjoy it? My grandparents, along with my father, established this marina at the intersection of Highway 95 and 96, just a mile north of Stillwater in 1957. But being just north of downtown, you avoid heavy traffic that keeps you from getting out onto the water. And in our protected bay, we have hundreds of slips ranging in size from 16 to 50 feet, so we can accommodate a variety of boats. Not sure if this is the best place to keep your boat? Come see me. I can answer your questions so you can decide the best place to dock your boat. And because Wolf Marine is a three-generation family-owned marina, you can count on consistency from year to year. Talk to me and get out on the water faster at Wolf Marine.
Hello, this is John Tetzloff of Tetzloff Yacht Sales. If you are thinking about getting out on the water in a nice used boat, now is the time to talk to me. Whether you are looking at a houseboat, cruiser, motor yacht, or something else, and with the largest selection of boats in the area, not only do we have boats in Stillwater, but we also broker boats up and down the St. Croix, Mississippi, Lake Minnetonka, all over North America, and even overseas. I will work hard for you before and after the sale. To enjoy the water this summer, come visit TetzloffYachtSales.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to Boating with Wolf Marine and Tetzloff Yacht Sales. We are the only Upper Midwest show talking exclusively about boating and mainly the St. Croix River, but other things also, other places. I am Eric Wolf. I am the co-owner of Wolf Marine. We're located 1 mile north of downtown Stillwater on the beautiful St. Croix River. And alongside of me here is...
My name is John Tetzloff, and again, it's Tetzloff Yacht Sales, tetzloffyachtsales.com, 575 Main Street North, right in the north end of downtown Stillwater. And again, I know I've been saying it the last few shows, but we're looking for some good listings. We need some boats to put back on the website because we're just, it seems to be a nonstop year for selling boats, which is a good thing. In fact, I think I mentioned at the beginning of the show that I've been on boats all morning, and I basically had to run off a boat to get to the show to start recording.
Absolutely, and I can remember you coming up the steps here to the booth and breathing hard.
Oh yeah,
on the move.
Well, like I said, they have about 80 steps to get up here, so I usually run those about 10 times up and down before I come in here. I want to get my breath going.
Get your heart rate up. Yeah, get the heart rate up. And before the break here, we were talking about my adventure story, which got my heart rate up when I was out there, out in New York at that. That sectional barge installation job that I had.
So I hear you might be a TV star now because of that.
Well,
incident.
They actually did have some coverage of it, and it was thankfully basically towards the end of it there when we did have the barge with the excavator. It was secured at the time, so they didn't have any footage of the gentleman trying to catch the barge by swimming after it. But I'll never forget, As the kid was about to jump in the water, the conservation officer looked at him and said, "Do you think this is a good idea?" And he's like, "I don't think this is a good idea, but what else are we going to do?" So it's an adventure. It was something that I wish never would have happened to begin with. It cost the company, I'm sure, a few bucks, having to get a crane. And we basically lost about 12 hours of work, and they had a whole crew. So it was a whole day's worth of work plus. And as I sat down with the superintendent afterwards of the job, we all looked at each other and said, "You know what? It was probably about $150,000 worth of equipment that was floating downriver by itself uncontrollably." And he said, "Nobody was hurt. Number one thing,
nobody was hurt.
That's key." And he said, "You know what? You can't buy a life for $150,000," which is absolutely correct. But yeah, it was very interesting. Something that I could have done without, that's for sure. But it's something to add to my portfolio here of kind of unique experiences on the river.
And you can be, and you're sitting here telling it, that's the best part of it, that
absolutely.
You are actually sitting here and you're not on the wrong side of the dirt, right?
Yep, absolutely. Yeah. Like I said, it was quite nerve-wracking there for quite some time, but all in all, things seem to work themselves out. I haven't heard, there was a little bit of damage to one of them, one of the barges, where it required some welding. They I'm sure, have welded it up since then, and I hope they have it back out on the job. I haven't heard anything, and usually no news is good news.
There you go. All right. Well, that's a good story, and I'm sure as time goes on, it'll be a happier, funnier story.
Yeah, absolutely will be. And I'm sure for the workers that were chasing the barge and the kid that swam out after it, even afterwards, after everything was said and done, we had the equipment on trucks and heading back to the job site. The mood was lightened quite a bit,
sure.
and we were laughing and giggling about things at the time. But in the heat of the moment, there wasn't much laughing or giggling. But afterwards, we look back and think, wow, that could have been a lot worse.
Well, talking about downriver, and I guess going back to, you had mentioned that mainly on the St. Croix, I do get out and about. I mean, I am on the Mississippi. I've got boats on the Mississippi and Lake Minnetonka. In fact, I'm in the five-state area. Most of it is on the St. Croix and the Mississippi. But I've got, I think I told you a story about the Clinton Marina down in Clinton, Iowa, and sold a boat down there a couple of years ago. It was a blue water, and the manager came out and grabbed me and said, "We've got all these boats to sell. John, we need your services." So it's a six-hour drive from Stillwater to Clinton. So we go down there. I'll take my wife down there. Sometimes I'll go down there by myself and, list the boats, try to sell them and do the sea trials. Anyway, get back to doing some, making sure that you do surveys and sea trials. Had a nice boat down there. It was a 19... 92 36-foot Holiday Mansion houseboat. And we took it out for the sea trial. The owner was there. The buyer was there. And the buyer is actually going to bring it from Clinton up to Red Wing. So it was going to be a long trip. And I wanted to make sure everything was working okay. So we did everything. We were out in the river, driving it around and pulling it back into the slip. And all of a sudden, one of the drives wouldn't go in reverse. So they had to, cancel or postpone the trip and, haul the boat out and, get it fixed. It took a couple of weeks to get the parts and everything. But again, all boats that I deal with and all the sales I do are contingent on surveys and sea trials. So it's a good thing that we did that. It's a good thing it happened pulling it back into the slip, because those guys could have been well onto their way, to Red Wing and, been stuck somewhere, in the middle of a city, between cities or wherever. Not that they're going to get in trouble. I mean, they can just throw the anchor over and putts in on one engine, but it happened right there. But again, the importance of making sure to hire a surveyor and doing that sea trial is critical.
Oh yeah, it's big. And like I said, it's very fortunate that it happened there. There's nothing worse than being a new owner of a boat of some kind and having it break down right away. So that's, like you said, the importance of a survey. Have it gone through, check it out. Do a sea trial. That's very important. Make sure you have no vibrations or funny noises or something like that. Have everything checked out and go from there.
Yeah. I've done over, 50 sales this year. And I've had a couple of them, that one and the Sea Ray, that had an issue at the sea trial. But again, everything's fixable. Nothing's, nothing major. And, no engines were blown up no boat sunk and nobody got hurt. So everything's fixable.
Yeah. And in both cases, both boats were fixed, and they were fixed properly. And now I know the Sea Ray that we have at our place, it is a beautiful boat. And somebody's going to get themselves a nice boat that's, right up to where it has to be.
Right up to snuff. And, those boats really handle nice. I mean, they've got the four controls, for the throttle and the transmission and everything. Those things turn on a dime. You pull them into a marina, and if you have to put one in forward, one in reverse to spin that boat around and slip it into the slip.
Yeah.
It's real easy. It makes it real easy. If I can do it, anybody can do it.
Yeah, I like the term slip on in. That's exactly right. The twins make it a little easier for most people. It takes a little bit to get used to them. You only have two hands, and when you try to operate two shift levers, two throttles, and a steering wheel. You have to learn how to run just by throttles and shifters. So it does take a little bit, but with practice, I think most anybody can do it.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, I never thought I'd be able to do it. And in fact, my first twin engine boat was bought out of your marina. It was a 1989 44-foot Gibson. And the night before we bought it, I think I dreamt all night about how I was going to do it, putting one in forward and one in reverse. And, I came from a 36-foot Gibson with a single to the 44 Gibson with the twins, and that was such a big difference. But I'll tell you what, it was a lot easier to park than that single.
Oh, yeah, and I tell people all the time, the only way you're going to get better at it is to get in the thing and do it. And I recommend that to people all the time. Get in your boat, come on down on a Monday, or come on down on a Wednesday when there's nobody around. Evenings are usually calm, so you don't have to worry too much about wind. And get in the boat, start it up, back it out, put it in, and do that 10 times. Now, after 10 times, you're going to get the feel of the boat.
Yeah.
And that's what it takes. It takes practice. You can't expect to jump into a boat, especially of any size like that, and expect to be a professional captain right away.
No, you can't. And like you said, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesdays, you have the marina, you got the river to yourself. And you know what? A lot of times, even if there's people around, it's so nice because they're going to come on over and they're going to stand on the fingers or wherever, and they're going to try to help you get in. I mean, again, the best speed is slow. If you're going to hit something, the slower the better. But you know what? You're not going to hit anything. Just take your time.
That happened today, as a matter of fact. Not someone hitting something, but we have a young woman, 30 years old, has a houseboat. And I don't want to mention her name because she would kill me. But just prior to coming here to record, she was up camping, and she probably takes the boat out twice a year, but she's on the thing every day. And just so happened she was bringing it in, and she wanted her dad to come out and help her out, and come out, and he refused to do so, and kind of forces her to try to land it herself. Well, she wasn't real successful the first couple times, so Dad came out and helped her, and I told him, you do not help her, do not touch the controls on that thing. You can coach her, but do not touch the controls. So eventually she did bring the boat in by herself. A few pointers from somebody that knows and has been out in the boating industry for a while, and she did a good job. So there again, she should be out there practicing. You know, right now, and when I looked down there were six people on the dock waiting for her. You know?
Oh, really?
Everybody knew she was going to struggle a little bit, but her neighbors were there to help her out, as boating neighbors always do.
They sure do.
Eventually, you know, it took a little time, but she got it in the slip, and she did fine.
She's probably breathing a little heavy at the time, and big sigh of relief she got that in the slip.
Yep, I'm sure the nerves were a little rattled there, but once it's in, you're set and ready to back it out and try it again.
I'm sure Dad had some good words of wisdom for her, right?
I'm sure he did, yes.
All right. So anyway, it's Lumberjack Days, and we have got a entry into the parade here. Ever since we've been in business, we've been in the, I guess you call it the Lumberjack Day Parade before. What was it called after they stopped calling it Lumberjack?
I don't even recall. Log Jam or something, wasn't it?
Something like that. Anyway, we've been in it for, this will be our sixth year, and this year we've got it's a food boat, food truck / boat that serves food. Right now it currently is set up to serve like ice cream and hot dogs and hamburgers and things like that. And we're going to have that in the parade, and we're going to, throw candy and stuff like that. But that boat is for sale. It's a pontoon. I mean, it's set up. All you have to do is buy it and, plop it in the water somewhere, or you can bring it to a fair and set it up. They've got stairs, and it sets up real nice at a fair. And if somebody wanted to get into that kind of business, in Minnesota, the fair thing goes on every weekend somewhere in Minnesota. Yeah. And obviously, the lakes are open. The rivers are open. You can plop it out there and bring it to a beach somewhere and set up a shop and sell food.
Oh, that's got to be very unique. I have not yet seen that. Be interesting to see. You have your food truck, so now we have a pontoon food boat
truck.
truck.
It's on a trailer. So yeah, it's pretty interesting. And there's somebody that's interested in maybe putting it right near the bike path and setting it up on the trailer and maybe getting some shrubs and whatever around there to make it look nice and maybe changing it over to a health food shop instead of the hot dogs and hamburgers. I think folks on the path probably would be more interested in buying smoothies and health bars and water and things like that. That might be a good idea.
It might be, but I still like the old hot dogs and hamburgers myself.
Yeah, we do. But I just think that folks on that path that are doing the running and the jogging and the biking and the walking probably want something maybe a little bit healthier. That's my thought.
Yeah, you're probably correct on that.
So, yeah, we'll see what happens.
Yep.
So, look, sounds like we're coming up to the end of show number something or other. I'll never know unless I figure that out. I'll go on the website and see. Again, you can hear all our shows, previous shows, by going to the KLBB website and hitting the on-demand, or you can go to my website, and there's a tab there to hit the on-demand, and we've got 20-some shows. You can hear all the previous ones. The new ones, if you don't hear them Saturday at 9:30 or Sunday at 10, you can definitely wait until Monday afternoon when they put the new shows on the on-demand. So again, my name's John Tetzloff with Tetzloff Yacht Sales. It's TetzloffYachtSales.com, 651-214-9463. We've got a great Facebook page, and on my starboard side.
I am Eric Wolf. I am the owner of Wolf Marine, and Wolf Marine is located on the St. Croix River, 1 mile north of the Stillwater Lift Bridge. By road, we are at the intersection of Highway 95 and 96. The proper address is 514 Alder Street East in Stillwater, and we are a marina that has slips ranging in size from 16 to 50 footers. We would like to see your boat. Come on down, put it in the water, spend a night, spend the summer. We'd love to have you, and want to see you. So, again, Eric from Wolf Marine.
And John Tetzloff with Tetzloff Yacht Sales, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you.